The Art Spot with Art Minius on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Welcome to the Art Spot on WCHL and ChapelBurra.com. Excited today to be visiting with a former resident of the area, Mr. Scott Ainsley, returning for a March 28th concert at the Art Center in Carrboro. Hi, Scott.
Hey, Art. Nice to talk to you, and good to be with your listeners as well.
Yes, indeed. We're looking forward to having you back home again on the 28th. How long has it been now that you've been up in the Northeast?
I've been in Brattleboro, Vermont for 11 years, and I'm very happy up here, although we are getting a little tired of the snow.
Indeed. Ours has been more prolific than we're used to down here, but y'all have been slammed and slammed and slammed again.
Well, it just keeps the snow from looking gray. You know, it never gets that slushy gray mess. We get a little bit of new snow on top every time.
So. That's important to keep it looking good, don't
well,
you know?
Well, spruce it up a little bit.
Indeed. But your music, I've been following for good 20 years now. You're one of the great players of the acoustic blues today, just like Guy Davis that we had at the Art Center earlier this month. And it is a thrill to bring you back to town.
I'm really happy to be coming back. It's been a very long time since I played the Art Center. The last show I did there, I opened for Taj Mahal. It was a long time ago.
Wow.
And he got stuck in traffic, in basketball traffic. They housed him at the Carolina Inn, and he thought he'd just hop in the car and drive over to the venue, you know, 5 minutes away.
Yeah.
He was almost an hour late.
Good.
I wound up playing a long set of a children's concert that he was going to do. And when he got in the house, I just, you know, bailed off the stage and we got him set up. It was a lovely evening, though. It was really, really fun.
That's a good story, Scott. What drew you to the blues as your art form?
When I was 15, I heard John Jackson, who you'll remember well, play a couple of songs in the middle of a Mike Seeger concert in 1967 at Groveton High School in Alexandria, Virginia. And John, you know, just turned the guitar inside out and did things with it I couldn't have imagined. Having listened to the folk revival players, nobody was playing that complicated ragtime sort of style of blues that I had heard anyway. And here I'm seeing this guy turn the guitar inside out right in front of me, and I walked out of that concert, a guitar player who never touched the instrument before. I started playing a month later and always had room in my stable for blues. I played old-time music for a long time in the 1970s. I had the good fortune to go to Washington and Lee University and run into a geology professor who was struggling to learn how to play the banjo, Odell McGuire. So I played old-time music for about 12 years, fiddle and climber banjo, and came back to the blues in the late 70s and early 80s. And having worked on Broadway for a while and a 500-seat house, essentially, with no microphones, singing from the stage, no sound reinforcement, I had developed a really loud voice, and I thought, okay, you've always liked to play this stuff, but maybe you could learn to sing it. And I've spent the last 40 years trying to figure that out.
Yeah. You've gained a special notice for your mastery of Robert Johnson's work. You did the instructional book with Hal Leonard, Robert Johnson at the Crossroads, now more than 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But we certainly need to hear you doing a Robert Johnson piece. And why don't you tell us a little about what Robert Johnson meant to you, and then we'll go into your version of his biggest hit, such as it was, of his lifetime, Terraplane Blues.
Oh, the Terraplane, made by the Hudson Essex Car Company. And in the 1930s, it was the fastest and most affordable roadster available. It went 88 miles an hour. And on 1930 roads, that was probably sufficient to knock your teeth out, you know. And Skip James actually owned a Terraplane. I don't know that Robert ever did, but he wrote this really sexy blues about it, with almost single entendre, if you listen carefully to the words. And I first heard Robert's music in 1975. I'd been playing old-time music and involved in that scene. And a fellow musician came by and said, "You like guitar music? Listen to this." And dropped the needle on the first Robert Johnson record I'd ever heard. And I just sat on the floor and stared at the phonograph for half an hour. I mean, and then turned it over and did it again. It was phenomenal playing, and a really wide variety of styles in Johnson's stable. He was a great, I don't want to say a mimic, but he copped to all the commercially viable blues styles that were being played in the mid-30s, and played all of them about as well as anybody. He was a remarkable musician.
Indeed. And here's his Terraplane Blues by Scott Ainsley.
And I feel so lonesome, you hear me when I'm on. And I feel so lonesome, you hear me when I'm on. Who've been driving my Terraplane for you since I've been gone? I said I flash your lights, mama, your horn won't even blow. I even flash my lights, mama, this horn won't even blow. We got a short on this connection, well, we're down below. I'm a horse your hood, mama, I'm bound to check your oil. I'm a horse your hood, mama, I'm bound to check your oil. I got a woman that I'm loving, we're down in Arkansas. Now you know the cars ain't even buzzing, little generator won't get that spark. All's in a bad condition, you got to have these batteries charged. I'm crying, please, please don't do me wrong. Who've been driving my Terraplane for you since I've been gone? Mr. Highwayman, please don't block the road.
We're back on the Art Spot with Scott Ainsley, who's coming to the Arts Center for a concert at 8 p.m. on March 28th. And we can't wait to have Scott back in town. We just heard his version of Terraplane Blues. And what got you first to North Carolina after your time at Washington and Lee?
Well, from Washington and Lee, I wound up going to New York City. I worked with Robert Wilson and Philip Glass on Einstein on the Beach for a winter, and then went to Ireland for a year and overseas for a year with a fiddle case under my arm. Wound up back in North Carolina in 77, went back to New York in 78, and stayed there until 1984.
Yeah.
So, you know, I bounced around a good bit. And what brought me back to North Carolina was basically the rents in New York, which you know have quadrupled by now from what they were. I had gone to New York ostensibly to play music, and did play a lot of great music and made a lot of good connections while I was there. But I was I had been sort of reduced to managing a down quilt store and playing music in the around the edges, and I just couldn't see that I was going to raise my family doing that. And so I left in 1984 and brought my 2-year-old son Jesse, who's a fine musician in his own right, down to Rocky Mount, where my ex-wife had her mother's house, and we stayed there for the summer, and I worked on the house and got a little stake together, and then moved to Chapel Hill. I wound up in Durham in the Visiting Artists Program in North Carolina from 1986 until 1990, a formative period for me in terms of developing an interest in playing community-based music and also in presenting the history behind the songs.
Yeah.
And since then, I have been looking for the right story, the right fact, the right vignette, the right biographical detail to illuminate a song and have it live sort of in the, you know, live in the space with us. I enjoy telling those stories, and I'm sure I'll tell a few of them at the Art Center.
We can't wait. Why don't you tell us the story of Down in Mississippi, and we'll give that a listen.
Oh, wonderful. Down in Mississippi was written by J.B. Lenore, a great Mississippi blues man who fled Mississippi about as fast as he could and went to Chicago. The original track was produced by Willie Dixon, who was playing African-style hand drums on the original recording while JB's in an open tuning just playing acoustic guitar. And they recorded the song for a man named Horst Lippmann, who was a German blues enthusiast, and it was released in Europe in 1966 when it was cut, but not in the United States because they didn't think a song like that would find a market in America. And, you know, it may not, but both Mavis Staples and I, within a year of each other, both put it on a record. So it's a wonderful song. And it's sort of about the, you know, the body count for the Civil Rights, the Voting Rights Act in Mississippi. In 1955, Mehmet Till had been killed. In 1963, Medgar Evers, and in 1964, Cheney, Schwerner, and Goodman were killed. And in 1966, J.B. wrote and recorded this song. So it's a real civil rights anthem, if dark. It's a wonderful piece of music.
Down in Mississippi, Scott Ainsley.
I can remember either had to plow or hoe. One of those long old 9 foot sacks standing at the old turn row down in Mississippi. Down in Mississippi, down in Mississippi where I was born, down in Mississippi where I come from. Jail. Season was always open on me. Nobody needed no bail. Down in Mississippi. Down in Mississippi. Mississippi, where I was born, down in Mississippi, where I come from. Mississippi, down in Mississippi. Mississippi, where I was born. Down in Mississippi, where I come from. Against Mississippi, also was the home of my wife. But I count myself a lucky man just to get away with my life down in Mississippi. Down in Mississippi, down in Mississippi, where I was born. Down in Mississippi, where I come from.
Check out our comprehensive community calendar, photo galleries, and all of our news stories and more from 97.9 FM WCHL on chapelboro.com.
Back on the Art Spot on WCHL and chapelboro.com with Scott Ainsley, coming to the Art Center on March 28th for an 8 p.m. concert. You got into talking about Down in Mississippi and how it was an anthem from the civil rights issue. Another one of your passions besides music has been social activism and local arts and progressive politics.
It's true. Guilty as charged. I grew up outside of Washington, D.C., right across the river in Alexandria, Virginia, in my, you know, sort of 10, 11, 12, up through college years. And in the mid-60s, that was the civil rights movement. It was the anti-war movement as it developed against the Vietnam War. And I remember opening Life magazine, which was a periodical, for those of you who are too young to remember. It was quite large, a large format, big photographs sort of periodical that everybody I knew took this magazine. I mean, when I was growing up in Alexandria, it was on everybody's coffee table. And I remember opening it when I was 11 in 1963 and seeing an immense two-page spread of a black and white photograph of Bull Connor's police attacking well-dressed young black people who were hoping to vote with police dogs, and a real close-up of this German Shepherd lunging at this kid's throat. And it was an arresting photograph.
I know it well.
And I asked myself at the age of 11, as one does when you're about 11 or 12, you start looking outside the family and say, who am I going to be when I'm out in the world? And I looked at that photograph and I thought, you know, if I was there, would I be behind the police dogs or would I be in front of the police dogs? And, of course, everybody in front of the police dogs was black and everybody behind them was white, and I'm white. So, but my allegiance has always been with the I've just never been able to put myself behind the dogs. My allegiance has always been with the people who are getting stepped on. And that was true, you know, from that age and below. There's some crazy family stories, actually, at me at a very young age, not sort of towing the line of around racial stuff. So I've always had a great affinity and affection and respect for social justice and for cross-cultural exchange. And I've spent my life behind a guitar, you know, trying to advance that stuff.
And that's why I'm proud to have you at the Art Center for an 8 p.m. concert on March 28th. Scott Ainsley, artcenterlive.org or 919-929-2787 for more information. Thanks a bunch for being on the Art Spot today, Scott.
Thank you, Art. Fine regards to you and your audience. I can't wait to see you at the end of the month.
We are looking forward to it.
All the best.
Thanks, Scott.